Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Well, welcome back to 3GT. We're glad you could join us for this episode. This is Barry York, and I'm here with my church-loving buddies, Aaron Sams and Kyle Borg. And guys, I wanted to talk to you about the topic today of the program-driven church. Of course, that's offered with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, playing on the purpose-driven church, which this may have something in common with that, but we'll get to that. But a lot of churches offer a variety of programs, ministries, workshops, opportunities for God's people to serve. And I think a lot of times we just associate church with these types of programs. And so I thought I'd start off just by asking, with respect to your own congregation, type of programs do you offer, or does your church offer?
Go, Kyle, go.
All right, I'm off. So our Lord's days are usually very packed, maybe even to the point of almost being wearisome. But what we do, so we have Sunday school, we have morning worship, but we also do evening class and evening worship. And we do the evening class primarily because that is the time in which any additional religious instruction with our youth that wouldn't happen in Sunday school can happen. We don't have a midweek youth group. Many of our kids are involved in sports. And even though I grew up in a culture where, you know, Wednesday night was still considered church night, so people could get to their church clubs, that's not so much the truth anymore. And so Sundays become a very heavy day for us. Outside of Sundays, we have once a month, we have a prayer meeting. And once a month, we have a family night where we do, we all bring food to share. And then there's usually a little program. So last week we had our family night and it was bring your favorite board game, and young and old sit and play games together, or we'll do a lip sync battle or something like that, just more on the humorous side of things. And so we do that. Yeah, that was awesome. That actually was way more successful than we thought it was going to be. So even though I made a total fool of myself, but it was a bad experience that way. And then the one other thing, the women in our church meet informally once a month, usually to just talk to one another and see how life is going. They usually open with a 10 or 15 minute devotional, but nothing extensive, and then spend another hour, hour and a half just chatting, catching up on life. But beyond that, our church really doesn't have any programs.
So let's see, outside of the regular worship service during the week, on Friday nights is a youth group meeting, in which my son has enjoyed attending. And occasionally they'll go out and do other things, like they went on a skiing retreat over. There was a Monday holiday in February. I think it was President's Day, or might have been on MLK Day. I can't remember. Anyhow, drove out on a Sunday night and skied that day. So there's stuff for kids to do. What's interesting is Friday tends to be a good night, because a lot of families have kids in the youth group. And so other classes will often be taught during that 2 hour block. In fact, my wife and I are going to be leading, Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class over the months of April and May, coming soon. So, you know, we have various things like that, that go on. Trying to think what else. Oh, about once a month, there's a breakfast for women, and once a month, there's a breakfast for men. And there's some occasional, you know, like teaching through a particular book of the Bible series, more, you know, education versus, you know, preaching That often happens on a Saturday morning, which also tends to be a good time for people. You know, 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, it's amazing how many people show up. So not a whole lot going on in midweek, unless you're in a particular target, like age bracket. So, you know, junior high youth group Friday night versus high school being a different night. So there's stuff going on, but it's not something like everybody would be going to, but you might have, you know, either one person in your family going to, or you just would have no people in your family going to, because it's kind of geared toward a different age bracket or demographic.
Mm-hmm. Well, my former experience was more like both of yours, but in the congregation I am now, since we moved to Pennsylvania, it's quite a busy place. We see things like beyond your normal Lord's Day activities of worship services and Christian education classes. Our congregation has a soup kitchen. There are being located next to a Christian college. It has discipleship groups, and there's probably 20 to 25 of those going on. A youth group. We're regularly running the Christianity Explored program. One of our pastors leads a ministry called Grief Share for those who have lost loved ones. They visit nursing homes. There's a group called Young at Heart where some of the older folks get together and have a meal with one another. There are a couple of women's studies. There's also groups that meet at our church, like Meals on Wheels and Alcoholics Anonymous. And so the list goes on and on. It's
wow.
kind of a busy place. And I'm kind of laughing. One of the new programs of our church is called the Pastoral Search Committee, because I've been on it for over a couple of years, starting to get this permanent feel to it, although we hope that will change soon. But
yeah, Barry, I totally forgot that everyone's kind of encouraged to be in some sort of like group of people that live near you.
Yes.
Most of those meet once or twice a month, so they're not overly
extensive
time committal or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is another I totally forgot about.
Yeah, we have shepherding groups where people can gather in an elder's home. So lots of things like that going on. And, you know, as you think about programs, do you see these things as being beneficial? And maybe we'll just start there first. And you might speak to this personally. Have you ever benefited personally from a program that the church has offered?
Yeah, I think, to moderate what I'm probably going to say in a few minutes, I think they can be beneficial. You know, when Rachel and I were first married and we came into a Presbyterian church for the very first time, we had a life group, kind of like a shepherding group. It met in an elder's house and we did a Bible study, and we really, really appreciated it. We really enjoyed it quite a lot. You know, people our age and being able to get together and to do a Bible study, spend some time in mm-hmm. prayer, that was helpful to us in our first year of marriage. I only say our first year because then we moved away. So it's not like, oh, it was only good for our first year, and then we grew up and didn't need it. That's not what I meant. So, you know, and I think when you read the New Testament, I'm just finishing preaching through the book of Acts, and it is very, very clear in the book of Acts that the church invested in each other's lives,
mm-hmm.
That they lived life in a corporate community, that this was central to them. You know, I was really challenged as I read and preached through Acts that for me, the way that I imagined this early church functioning was not, here's my individual life, and now we'll see where my community life fits in. It was more, here's my community life. Now, where will my individual life fit in some ways? And there can be abuses to that. Maybe we'll get into that. But the Bible's very clear that the Christian church is life together.
Mm-hmm.
That we are to invest in each other's lives. And I think a lot of programs, whether they're always successful at it or not, are geared towards creating opportunities and avenues for that kind of thing to happen.
Yeah, Kyle, I would totally agree with you. I think probably the most beneficial thing that we're doing right now is just meeting with these community groups. In fact, tonight, as soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go meet three guys from my group, and we're just getting together just the the husbands of the families in our group just to hang out and get to know each other a little better. Just this last weekend, I had, you know, some of them and then some guys from another group over to my house just to kind of hang out and eat some food and just get to know each other as well. Because, when you are bumping into each other at the grocery store and then also worshiping together, it's, you know, it's good to have those kind of connections as part of this community. One other thing that I always enjoy as well are things that are geared towards kind of intellectual edification. So the church I was at in California, in the month of July, we only did it in July, but every Wednesday night we had something called the Men's Forum, and we would invite somebody from either a local church or, you know, maybe even a quasi well-known individual that, you know, maybe they had a radio show in town or they'd written some books, and we would just have them give a 1-hour talk. At the church, there was a little bit of a Q&A time, and then we would all go out for some food afterwards, and we would just grill the guy and just, you know, ask him really, really hard questions and that was kind of the goal, not to just kind of smile and nod, but to really press the speaker on what they had said and challenge them, and mostly just to, you know, sharpen them a little bit, but also to make sure that we're thinking critically about the stuff that we hear and the stuff that we read. And so it was a definitely an example of iron sharpening iron.
Yeah. And as you men share, when there are times where we're coming together and experiencing the fellowship that Christ intends for his church, or being further educated in the Christian faith, or having good theological discussions, one of my favorite times is getting together with men early in the morning and spending time maybe eating, drinking some coffee and sharing our lives, but then just spending time praying and encouraging one another. I think that is a fulfillment of the life the body of Christ is to have. But if we talk about programs, I think there's also some ways in which they can begin to dominate the church's life and maybe get the church to be off-center. And have you experienced that side of things as well? What might be some of the dangers regarding programs? Because in calling this episode a program-driven church, we're not really commending that approach because I think we do have some concerns along those lines. So what are your thoughts?
Go, Aaron.
Okay. So, I've seen churches completely burn themselves out. Partly I think just programming for the sake of programming. I'm not anti-program, and because I've tried to find places where the things being offered are meeting a need in the congregation. I mean, I mentioned that my wife and I are teaching, a little financial class, and there's a need that people have to learn some basic budgeting skills. And this is something that we've gone through and got ourselves out of debt using. And so we've offered to host that and to teach that, so that we're trying to meet a need and the church is trying to meet a need. But just simply having a thing for the sake of having a thing, you know, you have two middle schoolers in your church and you want to have a youth group. Well, you know, is that really the best program when you could maybe just match them with a mentor, and then you don't have to, you know, pile organization and stress onto the anybody's life to organize something that doesn't necessarily need to be organized. And then I think the other side of burnout that I often see is, you know, when a pastor, an ambitious pastor, tries to do it all himself. That's just the quickest way to really burn out really quickly.
Aaron, just real quick, because I think that's a good point. Not just an ambitious pastor, but a pastor who has expectations put upon him that of a church that wants these programs. And well, you're the pastor, you're the guy to do it. So I didn't mean to interrupt. It's not just being a pastor, and having spoken to many of my pastoral friends, yes, there are those ambitious ones that want their finger in everything. What I notice more often than not is this huge expectation put on the pastor. You need to be involved in every program the church does. So carry on. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not sure I had much more to say other than, churches burning out, pastors burning out. So I think, you know, finding the right person and or persons to organize something to meet a specific need in the church is definitely a good way to go. And it, without having that kind of focus and attention, it's just you're ripe for burnout and just kind of, you know, shooting at the moon.
I know in dealing with church planting situations and also in congregations that are perhaps struggling and dying, that type of thing, that you often see a tendency to try to create excitement or create ministry by starting some program. You mentioned, Aaron, the have two kids and try to start a youth group, and that's exactly it. And one of the distinctions we often make in church planting is you want to be careful not to become, try to be a mini church offering things the bigger churches do, but you want to make sure you stay on mission. We talk about being a mission church, or a church that's driven with a real sense of mission and purpose and bringing the gospel to a community. And, you know, you have to grow into some of the ministries you might see other congregations having, but the tendency is, oh, we're going to become a church, so let's start a sophisticated Christian education program and have different levels and grades and offer two or three options to the adults, and you don't really have the people to either staff it or participate in it. And so you just have to be really careful. I also find when it comes to churches that are struggling and wanting to be revitalized, that they are often grasping for the latest Christian fad, something they've seen work in some other ministry, some book that's being promoted by the Christian publishers, and they try to grab onto that as their lifeline. And I think that's also another danger in that approach. Any other concerns with respect to programs you'd want to raise, guys?
Hold on. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, okay, I know you have opinions, Kyle, so I'm gonna I'll let you do that in just a minute. I want to get mine in here first. The other, I think, consideration is, you know, the church needs to remember what they are, and their primary function is to preach the word and minister the sacraments, not to, you know, host a particular event on a particular night of the week. Now, if they do that, that's great, as long as they're being faithful to the gospel and they're being faithful ministers of the word. So, you know, if that's being done, some of these other things I don't think are bad things, but when those things take precedence over the primary function of the church, that's where problems start to arise.
Mm-hmm. And that's something, Aaron, I love that, because that's something that you need to shepherd people in too, right? As much as we like getting together to drink coffee and maybe read our Bibles and pray with other men on a Saturday morning, that is in no way equal to what happens when God's people gather for worship. And that's always been one of my concerns in churches that have been overly programmed, and churches I've been a part of, is that you have all these Bible studies, you have these meetings, and worship becomes one among many. Like, it's what we do on Sunday, but I've got my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule. And so there needs to be intentional shepherding, that what we do when we gather together for worship is qualitatively different than any of these other things that we do throughout the week. So I appreciate that. I think some of my other concerns, if I'm allowed to speak now, Aaron, I will hold my tongue if you need me to.
No, I have something else. Hang on. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Well, let me get my list out of my back pocket here. I carry it with me wherever I go. I do think some of the concerns, you know, our church, can, especially compared to some of the things you guys were talking about, we don't have many programs. Part of that is a small town dynamic. My congregation and I live our lives interconnected in very complex ways all week long. You know, we don't have people that drive 45 minutes every single week to be here. And unless we're orchestrating these programs, then we're not going to see each other except on Sundays. So part of this, I think, is a small town dynamic. But another one for me is it is partly in principle. In addition to what you guys have said, you know, part of me wants to respect the fact that people lead very busy lives. We talked a couple episodes ago, David Murray was recently ministering in our congregation on the topic of depression. And a question came up, that said, you know, how can the church be more proactive in preventing depression among its members? And I loved David's answer. David's answer was, we have got to get rid of programs. And he said that, you know, our lives are so busy. And to, you know, some churches have 2, 3, 4 nights a week where people could stay busy, and it's adding to their workloads that they have already. And he said, you need to be very sensitive that for some people, when the church doors are open, they feel an obligation to be there. And I know I have members that are like that, who would labor under a sense of guilt if they're not present at everything that the church does. And so you're forcing them between a rock and a hard place. Make your life even busier, or live with this sense of guilt that you're not doing all these things that people are involved in. So I think that's a very fair caution when it comes to programs. I think too, personally, one of the things that I try to maintain as we think about as elders, creating opportunities for service, encouraging serving, encouraging fellowship, is the Sabbath principle. That 6 days God has given to us to do all of our work, to do all of our labor, but also to do all of our non-sinful entertainment. And I want to respect that. I want to respect that people have lives and they have things they want to do. They have things they need to do. I don't want them doing many of those things on the Lord's Day. And so if the church can proactively work to free up the other 6 days so that people can accomplish all of that, so on the Lord's Day, we individually and as a corporate body can really do that which the Lord's Day requires of us. I think that, and I think sometimes I wonder, do programs possibly steal away from that? Mm-hmm. If people are really busy in their lives the other 6 days of the week or 4 days of the week, and well, here comes Sunday and I still haven't gotten groceries, or I haven't had a chance to put my feet up and relax a little bit in some non-sinful idleness, so let me do it on Sunday. I want to do as much as I can as a pastor and as a shepherd to get away from that. I think another one of the big things for me is the times that I have heard or experienced people really judge the quality of a church based on their programs. I remember when I was in college, I was involved in a Presbyterian church, and a family with 4 kids started coming. And I just remember so clearly that this family had been worshiping with us for about a year. We thought things were going well, and one Sunday they just didn't come. And we got in touch with them and, you know, well, what's going on? Why aren't you coming? And they said, oh, we love the church. We love the preaching. The worship is exactly the way we want it. But your youth program is horrible. So we're going down the road to this church whose worship is not as great, but man, they have a really strong youth program. And I, you know, and I, that's a very common story that I hear from pastor friends is, It's the programs that make or break the church, especially youth programs. If the youth group is not up to par, then whatever else your church has to offer, we're not going to. And when that's the mindset of people, they're being driven more by the programs and the pragmatism than I think they are by biblical qualifications and priorities for a church. So
I think that speaks to the point that there are probably some guidelines as a church is evaluating whether they should have a program or not, or even continue it. I think a few guidelines regarding this would be the fact that we should really be looking at whether this particular ministry that we're doing is having the intended result. We should measure the fruit. So if we're offering, if we're doing a soup kitchen, is it just making us all feel good that we're going down and serving, you know, the poor and feeding them a meal, but all we're doing is encouraging them to further dependency and laziness, and we're not seeing any of them really interested in the gospel? Well, we need to think about that. So I think you need to evaluate programs. I've seen in churches that a program becomes so much a part of their identity. There's this sentimentality that develops that they're not willing to give it up, becomes like a sacred cow to them that they have to hold on to. And sometimes it can even be identified with certain personalities in the church where they do that and they've done it for so long, they don't really want to give it up. And so sometimes the ministry which could probably use some healthy injection of new life and new ideas, gets to a point where it becomes deteriorating and really not that effective. And so it's important to, I think, if you're going to offer some type of ministry or program, that you have these kind of guidelines and evaluation around it. Any other thoughts along those lines of guidelines that we might use? Let me point to one thing that you both have indicated in your previous answers, is that I hear in you talking about the centrality of the preaching of worship, really the marks of the church being central. And I think that's really important for congregations to keep in mind, that that's really your identity, is the preaching of the word and the sacraments and the fact that you're living holy lives, disciplined lives before the Lord. That has to be first and foremost in your minds. But then from there, you could have other things that help, and maybe the outworking of that or the fruitfulness of that life together in Christ can be worked out in some of these ministries. But you got to make sure that you don't get off center. Other ideas?
Yeah, with piggybacking on that, not only off-center, but I think the church could creatively think through, strategically think through, for a cool missional word, how programs can be conducted in a church with an eye to what our core identity is. Mm-hmm. It's our gathered worship that is, you know, so how do these programs, not only are they meeting a need, I appreciate what Aaron said about that, but are they meeting a need, but are they also furthering the ministry of word and sacrament and you know, do that. The one other guideline that I sometimes give some pastor friends who are in churches that are just overbooked with programs, one of the encouragements I give is, dude, just set limits. Like, say you're going to do a men's Bible study for 2 months,
yes,
and then take 6 months off. You know, we get into this mindset that these activities have to be weekly. And
once you start it, they have to be done in perpetuity.
Yes, exactly. And so I often tell people, just, man, set some, you know, yep, for the next 6 months, we'll do a men's breakfast, and then I'm taking a year off. that's another guideline I'd throw out there.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time, and thank you both for your inputs on this. And we hope this will be of help to you as you think about your own congregation, as you evaluate your own ministry and investment into the lives of other people. We thank you for tuning into, dare I say it, this program of 3GT. We're very grateful for our listeners. We encourage you to go over to our website, 3GT.fm, to see other episodes. We also could use your help. We have recently put up a Patreon account for 3GT and our sponsoring blog, Gentle Reformation. There is a cost to providing these episodes to you, so if you'd be willing to partner along with us, we would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, and we hope you'll join us again for another episode of 3GT.